Well, guys, we are stepping into a two-part series, and you can see them there. Love God, love my church, build my church. Just recently, we had one of the consultants, and he was interviewing the elders and a few others. And one of the questions was, what are the three most important qualities of a healthy church? Good question. What are the three most important qualities of a good church? Now, when he asked that question, I thought to myself, you sent me these survey questions. I probably should have looked at them before I came in, because this is a really important question. Now, I'm going to make the question even more important. According to Jesus, what are the three most important qualities of a healthy church? Now, on the spot, I thought to myself, you can't really go wrong with the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Surely that's got to be quality number one, and that's got to be quality number two. But according to theologians and Bible teachers, the third greatest quality is debated. Your homework during the week is to think about that third quality. I'm going to suggest to you the two most important qualities are very, very clear. And we're going to look at one today. Love my church. The great commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others. And then next week for Mission Vision Sunday, we're going to come back to the Great Commission. Now, I want to suggest to you, you cannot change the order. You can't start with the Great Commission and come back to the Great Commandment. The Great Commission has to flow from the Great Commandment. And so what I'd love you to do is just join me today as we just sort of look into something that you've probably heard. The kids just went off to kids' church. You've probably heard about this since you're a little kid in Sunday school. It's a very, very clear Great Commandment: love God, love others. But I just want us to dig into it and reflect on it for us. So this week, love my church, Great Commandment. Next week, build my church, Great Commission. But then we've got a meeting on the Wednesday evening, and that's where Jesus is going to say, pray for my church. So we'd love, after Vision Sunday on the Wednesday night, if you have midweek meetings on a Wednesday night, or even if you want to say to your small group, we're not going to do small group this week, we'd love you to come along on that Wednesday night. We want to share a little bit more about the church, but we want to have time together as a church to pray for Jesus' church. But before we go any further, let's pray to him now for this message. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come and we come into your word, and we've just had this time where we've adored you for who you are, we've worshipped you for who you are and for what you've done. Lord, we adore you. You are faithful even when we are not faithful. Lord, you are slow to anger even when we are not. You are compassionate when we are not. You are merciful when we are not. You are loving when we are not. And we love that about you. And Lord, now what we want to do is we just want to look at you and see your love and see the ramifications for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking about kids' church, here's a little bit of a Sunday school question. What is the golden rule? Most people have heard the golden rule. We can actually dialogue here if you like. Golden rule. Now, I know probably some of the younger guys, this may not be too common, but when I was growing up, golden rule. What is it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay, that's the golden rule. Thank you, Link. Well done. Not from a Christian family, didn't go to Sunday school. Good on you, mate. You pass. Now, question number two, this one's not so common. What is the platinum rule? What is the golden rule? Now, we all know platinum is more expensive than gold. What is the platinum rule? Mitch is going to give it a crack. I reckon, I know you, mate. I think you would get it. Okay, this one's not so common, but this is the platinum rule. Do unto others as Christ has done to you. Now, what's the difference between the golden rule and the platinum rule? The golden rule's already pretty tough, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The platinum rule falls into the category of impossible. If I was preaching in Indonesian, you'd say, tak mungkin. You'd say, like, you just emphasize, say, impossible. Now, where does this come from? It comes from Jesus. We're just going to camp in the last Passover that Jesus celebrated when he instituted the Lord's Supper. We've just celebrated. We're going to camp there in this passage. We're just going to look at Jesus. But this is what Jesus said to his disciples in John 13, 34 to 35. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." And then he ups the ante, like he's already said, just as. Now, that little phrase, just as, they're the most difficult verses. We just looked at marriage, and husbands are called to love their wives just as Christ loves the church. I'm telling you, this is impossible. It's impossible. But then Jesus ups the ante even more. He then says, by this, by loving others as I've loved you, by this, people will know that you are my disciples. They will know that you are my apprentices. They will know that you are my followers if you have love for one another. He now sets this new standard. Now, what's new about the platinum rule is not the command to love. That's an old command. What's new about it is a new standard. And then he says, this new standard is the sign by which people will know that you are following me, that you are an apprentice of mine. You love like me. Well, I want to change that a little bit. I want to say we love with Jesus' love. It's impossible to love like Jesus unless we love with Jesus' love, and then we will love like Jesus. See, this falls into an impossible command. But here's the crazy things. With every commandment comes a divine enablement. With every commandment comes a divine enablement. It is impossible, but with divine enablement, this commandment becomes possible. For several years for this church, I want to give an illustration for this. For several years for this church, I've had this feeling that there's like a reservoir of blessing that God wants to pour on us, but it's being blocked. A reservoir of blessing that God wants to pour on us, but it's being blocked. When we lived in Malaysia, we lived in a town called Taiping, and where we lived, you looked up to a hill called Maxwell Hill. We would call it the mountain, Maxwell Hill. And as you went down the main street of this town, Taiping, after rain, there would be a waterfall that would be coming down Maxwell Hill. It was beautiful. And what I noticed is, because I would see Maxwell Hill basically every day, I wouldn't always see it. I'd see it, but I wouldn't always see it. But when I saw it, what I noticed is when it had rained, the waterfall would flow. When it hadn't rained, the waterfall would stop. So together, some of you know Colin Pundy. He was a student there at that time. So at one point, Colin and I heard that you could swim in that waterfall. So we waited for it to rain, and it rained. And then we went up and we climbed up Maxwell Hill, and we came to this waterfall, and we wanted to go for a swim, but suddenly I realized why it stopped when it didn't rain. Because at the bottom of that waterfall was a reservoir. And that reservoir had walls that was blocking that rain that God had poured down, was blocking that rain from overflowing. I have a feeling that we may have, I may have, we may have some blockers for God's love and blessing to flow. I think there could be three. One is we don't have right clarity. Second, we don't have right dependency. And third, we don't have right priorities. Unclear clarity, wrong dependency, questionable priorities. See, what is God calling us as a church? This is His calling to us as a church, Riverston Community Church, loving Jesus Church with Jesus' love. Loving Jesus Church, loving Jesus community with Jesus' love. This is His calling for our church. It is not impossible. But what needs to happen is we need to deal with some of these blockers in my life, perhaps in your life. So the first one is a question of clarity. There's three blockers. The first one is this: clarity about how Jesus' love expresses itself. When you hear, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, or as you hear the platinum rule, do unto others as Jesus has done to you, often, I don't know about you, but love can be like this jelly sort of thing that's a bit vague and unclear, not concrete in our minds. But here at Riverston Church for some time, and for many of you who have been here for some time, you'll know that this is not new. But here at Riverston Community Church, we spell love B-L-E-S-S. We spell love bless. I found this so helpful because this gives me clarity. It makes something like love really concrete. And what we see is Jesus loved His disciples like this. So B stands for begin with prayer. One thing you'll notice about Jesus, if you study His life, this is what He would do. He would talk to His Father about people before He talked to people about the Father. He did that all the way through. But while I'm running through this, I'm just going to look at His first week of His ministry, and then we're going to jump 3.5 years to the Last Supper, and we're just going to dig in there. But you look at formal ministry. We have Him being baptized. Father says, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit descends upon Him. And what we have, Father, Son, and Spirit there. And then what happens, Jesus does something very unusual. He's just being commissioned for service. But He does something very unusual. The Holy Spirit leads Him into the wilderness where He prays and fasts for 40 days. He's speaking to the Father about men before He speaks to men about the Father. And if you track Him through His whole life, He does that. So what we see here is He is praying to the Father and for men. But the next thing we see, L stands for listen with care. If you look at Jesus' ministry, He actually asks more questions than He answers. In fact, He asks many more questions than He answers. Why is that? Because His aim when He asks a question is not always to speak, to be understood. The reason He asks the question is so that He can understand and so that the people can understand what's happening in their heart. And Jesus listens to their heart. Just look at His first week. His first week of ministry, He comes into Jerusalem. A few things happen, cleanses the temple. But the interesting thing is we read of these two beautiful interchanges. John chapter 3, Jesus is sitting with Nicodemus and you hear Him listening to Nicodemus's heart. And then John chapter 4, He goes up, He's on His way back to Nazareth, and as He goes through Samaria and goes through it, and He meets this Samaritan woman and He listens to her heart. In fact, He listens to her heart so well, He's able to show her what's happening in her heart that she wasn't even aware was happening in her heart. Listen with care. We spell love, bless, begin with prayer, listen with care, eat together. Yesterday I was at an Angel and Said conference and they had, for Faith Bible Church, they had a 25th anniversary. Wilson, you would have loved it, my friend. There was goat biryani. Now, I don't know whether you guys have, my Indian friends will know exactly what I'm talking about. Your mouths are already watering, right? There's this goat biryani. It was so good, this big pot of it, right? I love to eat. Anyone who knows me knows that. Jesus loved to eat. You read through the Gospels and he's having meals with people. But here's the difference between Jesus and us. We often only have meals with the people that we like who are like us. Jesus would have meals with all different types of people, tax collectors and sinners and all different types of people. And we're going to focus on his upper room. But then S stands for serve in love. Jesus actually said to his disciples later on, he says to them, do not be like the leaders of this land, for they lord it over people. But he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give him or to offer himself as a sacrifice for many. And we see that. He serves, and we're going to see in our passage, he washes their feet. And then the last thing, the final S stands for story, share Jesus' story. And what you see all the way is Jesus just wanted to take people on a tour of his Father's goodness and greatness and his graciousness. He loved talking about his Father. In fact, he said, I speak my Father's words, I do my Father's works, I walk in my Father's will, I do his ways. He was all about storing and bringing people and showing his Father's heart. Now, I know this is cute and simple, and many of you have seen this before. How do we spell love at Riverston Community Church? We spell it bless. Begin with prayer, listen with care, eat together, serve in love, story. Hear their story, share your story, share your Jesus story. It's cute. It's like Velcro for the brain. It'll stick. But it's powerful. Can you imagine what would happen if every person who came to this church was blessed, prayed for, listened to, fellowshipped with, befriended, served, storied about Jesus? Can you imagine? What about this? Can you imagine if every person who came to this church went and blessed? Can you imagine? See, we've got to pause. This is powerful, but what I want to suggest to you is this. In order for this to happen where people are blessed and then they go and bless, there's something blocking this. And I think the only thing, it's not just intellectual, it's not just that we don't have clarity about how to spell Jesus' love as B-L-E-S-S. It's more than a problem of clarity. It is actually a problem of dependency and a problem of priority. We cannot love like this. We are powerless. So it's got to do something. God's love not only expresses itself, but it empowers itself. So what I want us to see here is the second thing that we need to understand is we just don't need clarity. We need to understand proper dependency. And I want us to understand how Jesus' love empowers us. So let's come back to the upper room and let's look what happens there. And what I want us to see here is this, the three tenses of Jesus' love. Jesus' love seen in the past in that upper room. Jesus' love sustained in the present. And then Jesus' love shared in the future. I want us to understand sometimes what I thought when I was growing up and I was going through Sunday school, sometimes what I thought was this, how cool would it have been to walk with Jesus? But it's not so cool for us. It's not so good for us because he's not here with us. But actually what he says in this upper room, he actually says to his disciples, it is better for you that I go. For if I go, another comforter, another friend like me will come. And he's referring to the Holy Spirit. So how did Jesus pray? When we go into the upper room, we see two prayers. One of them you're very familiar with, his upper room prayer in John's Gospel, where he prays for his disciples present and also us future, and he prays for our unification. But also in that upper room, he prayed for Peter. There's these interactions, and he turns to Peter and he says to Peter, this is earlier than the upper room prayer, this is earlier on in the meal, he turns to Peter and says this, Simon, Simon. Now whenever he uses the word Simon, you know he's going to go back to who Simon was. He uses Peter. He said, Simon, Cephas, Cephas, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat.
There's a spiritual battle. Satan did not want the disciples to bless others. He didn't want them to love others. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And then he says this, and when you return, strengthen the brethren. That's a little bit of an older translation. Strengthen Riverston Community Church of the Christian Brethren. Strengthen the brethren. See, what we see here is Jesus is interceding for Peter. And what I want you to understand, what I want you to see is that didn't stop in the upper room. What we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 34 and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 is this: Jesus always interceding for us at the Father's right hand. He's praying for us right now. The person on this earth who's probably prayed for me the most is my mother. She does 3 prayer walks a day at the moment. I get prayed for at least 3 times. But Jesus outprays my mother for me. I'm going to read Hebrews 7:25. Listen to this. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. You've got this idea of saved, but able to save them completely. So our eternity is completely saved, but the contemporary, he's praying that we would be completely saved because there's a spiritual battle happening. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who have come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. That is amazing. He lives to intercede for us now. Sometimes my mother in her old age, sometimes it breaks my heart when I hear her say this. Someone says to me, Andrew, I don't know why God's got me here anymore. You know what? I say to her, Mum, you've worked so hard. Maybe he just wants you to rest and enjoy him now. And Mum, plus you're doing these prayer walks. It could be possible that in your fruitful life of ministry, the most fruitful phase is this phase where you're interceding, interceding, interceding. What if Jesus has my mother alive to intercede with him for me, for us? So what does this mean? It means we're prayed for first and we are prayers second. I want you to take this in. We are blessed to bless. And I don't need to go for a blessing if I'm coming from a blessing. And I don't need to go for praying if I'm coming from prayer. Does that make sense? We are prayed for first. We are interceded for first. We are prayers second. We are interceders second. But what about listening with care? In the upper room, we see Jesus. We have all these interactions. It's so beautiful. If you've got time this afternoon, just read John 13, 14, 16, 17. No, don't skip 15. Just read it and just look at the rich interactions. Jesus is listening. He's answering their questions. But here's the beautiful thing. What we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 is this: for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Right now, the eyes of God are roaming this room. Jesus is looking in this room and he's attentive and he's leaning in and he's listening for what? Our prayers. And Romans 8:26 is beautiful. But sometimes we don't pray and sometimes we don't know what to pray. So what does he do? He gives us his prayer. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. When we don't know what to say, as Jesus' ears are attentive and they're roaming, and when we don't even know what to say, the Holy Spirit is interpreting these groans. I don't know about you, when you get older, you groan more. Sometimes just getting out of the chair, I groan. It's funny, it's unusual, it's weird, but I want you to understand how intimate this is, how deep God's listening is. And so what happens here is I'm listened to first, so now I can listen. What about eating together? Well, you know, I love in Luke's gospel, it says that Jesus eagerly desired to celebrate the Passover. He eagerly desired. He just really wanted to get together and have a meal with his friends. And in that process, he instituted the Lord's Supper. Well, how I want you to understand is we are actually richer than them. Because something's happening here. This is what 1 Corinthians 10:16 says. It says this: is not the cup of thanksgiving, which we've just taken, for which we give thanks, and different translations, a participation, another translation, a sharing, another translation, a communion in the blood of Christ. We're talking deep participation, sharing, communion. And then we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, many of you will have memorized it. Behold, I stand on the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The New Living Translation says, we will have meal as a friend. This is deep communion. If you're lonely, which happens, there's a deep, unlosable communion with God. And so what this means is we are fellowship with first and we're fellowship second. We're commune with first, we commune second. We are befriended first, we are friends second. I want you to understand, so often we come to church for friendship. I get that, and may you be blessed and may you find friends forever here. But I want you to understand, if we come looking for friendship, we won't be a friend. But if we come from friendship with God, we can come into the room and say, I am richly fellowship with, I've been listened to, I've been prayed for, my cup is full. Now I can go and be friends with people who are looking for friends. It changes everything. We are loved to love. We are blessed to bless. What about serving love? Jesus takes a basin and a towel, does it early on, and he washes their feet, and ultimately he takes drinks the cup of God's wrath and he dies for them. And what we read in 1 Corinthians, in Colossians 1:28, what Paul says is this: to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. He's working hard. He's experiencing Jesus, his power working powerfully through him. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if you speak, speak the words of God. If you serve, serve with the strength of God, so that in all things God may be glorified. What we have there is, as you are doing the serving, not like my battery-operated Ryobi whippersnipper at home, just as I'm halfway through the job, the battery dies, done. Have to go back in, get another battery. That doesn't. What we're having here now, I'm not saying you don't rest, because actually what we see is you work from rest. You don't rest from work. But I'm not saying you don't rest. But what I want to understand, sometimes what happens when you're in that period of working is you've just got this supernatural God. As you're laboring, God is giving you power. He's serving you so that you can be his hands and feet. So what we see here is serve first, servant second. What about story? In that upper room, Jesus just teaches and answers questions and prays for them, and it's so amazing. And what we see is he actually says to them that the Holy Spirit would come, there's so much more for him to say, but he can't say it. But when the Holy Spirit's come, he will lead those disciples into all truth. And thankfully for us, that truth that they were led into has been recorded in God's word. And we have that word, and it's sufficient. It's God still speaking to us about him. So what we see here is witness to first, witnesses second. Story to first, storytellers second. How Jesus' love empowers Riverson Community Church. This is his call for us. Loving Jesus' church with Jesus' love, we are blessed to bless. Can I take you back to Taiping and back to that reservoir? We climb up, waterfall's coming. We're just sitting under that waterfall. It was so cool. Can I suggest to you that the way we love is we must first sit under the waterfall of God's love, his grace. We must experience his blessing. And then what happens, just like a dry sponge, if I take a dry sponge and I put it in the kitchen and I take it in this dry sponge and I just turn the tap on, what will happen is that water will pour into that sponge, and at some point that sponge will reach saturation point and it cannot do anything but begin flowing through. The water that's going to it will start flowing through it. And that's a picture of what God wants. And I can remember me and Colin were up there and just sitting under this waterfall and just letting the waterfall flow over us. This sounds like such an amazing day, but there's a problem. Off to the side, I couldn't speak Malay, couldn't read Malay at the time. I saw this sign and it said, Dilarang Berhenti Jangan Bernang. Now, Erica and Jinwei, you know exactly what I've said, right? What was the sign? Now, I didn't know. But actually what it was saying was prohibited, do not enter, do not swim. Because it was the reservoir for the whole town. So here are me and Colin swimming away. See, the first thing we've got to understand this, what's blocking? It's a lack of clarity. Second thing that's blocking, it's a lack of dependency. We're trying to love with our own love. We're not loving with Jesus' love. But there's a third problem. When I didn't know it at that time, we weren't meant to be there. And as Colin and I were coming down, we said to each other, don't tell anyone about this place because it will get ruined. And the next time it rains, we're coming back. What was blocking the blessing? Selfishness. It can be blocked by powerlessness. We're trying to do it in our strength, but it can be blocked by selfishness. And so what I want us to understand here, if we are going to live to this calling, love Jesus church, love Jesus community with Jesus love, if we are going to bless, we've got to come under the waterfall and we've got to be filled to overflowing, but then we have to go. And so what I want us to understand here is this, the third thing that we need to take in is how Jesus love empties itself. Right in the middle of this passage, he's already said, John 13, the new commandment, the platinum rule, to love just as Jesus has loved. But then what happens in John 15, he repeats it. He says this, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. I've dropped in just as from the Amplified Version. He says it again, but you know what he says next? He says this, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down or give up his life for his friends. See, what I want you to understand here is before Jesus' love can fill us and overflow out of us, we must first fully empty ourselves of self. You've got this idea of empty to overflow. But if I'm filled with all my dreams, all my hopes, all the things that I want, guess what's going to flow out of me? Me. And I'm going to go to you to satisfy my vision. I'm going to go to you to be my friend. I'm going to go to you for what you can give to me. I'm not going to go to you from. I'm going to go to you for. And I tell you what, anyone who's involved in ministry, this is so, so dangerous. I'm not speaking this to you. For you, this is for me. This is dangerous. It's so easy to use ministry to go to do things for approval, to do things for acceptance, to do things for security, to do things for love, to do things for friendship. It's so easy and it's so dangerous. But not just for people who are in ministry, for everyone. We don't go for blessing, we go from blessing, and that means we can go with blessing. We don't go for love, we come from love, and that means we can go with Jesus' love. Empty to overflow. Now, I want to ask you a question. Was this true for Jesus? In Philippians chapter 2, what we are told is that we're to have the same mind of Christ, that there shouldn't be selfish ambition, our priority should not be us, that we should consider other people more important than we are. And then it says that Jesus left heaven, and it says this, and he emptied himself
and became a servant, even to the point of death. He emptied himself of what? Of his position, of all the power, prestige, everything, protection. He cannot be touched. And he empties himself of all that. He says, Father, you are my priority. This world is my priority. I am not my priority. And if I make you my priority, you will make me your priority. And I'll be okay. This is the way of Jesus. This is what he's calling to us as a church. This is not simple. This is impossible. Unless we come and we empty ourselves of pride and say, we cannot pull this off. We empty ourselves of our selfish desires and putting ourselves first, and we come and say, because you've put us first, help us to priority you, and from that we will put you and others first. See, God is calling us, Riverstone Community Church, loving Jesus with Jesus love. We are blessed to bless. We are in a season as a church. We've been talking about it. We want a season of renewal. And we're saying to do that we need a review, we need a reset, and we need to refresh. But there will be no renewal unless individually and corporately we recommit. And we will just cycle around reviewing, resetting, refreshing. We'll just cycle around. But we're at a point at this journey in our church where God, I believe, is calling us to recommit to the great commandment to love him first, to love others second, and to love ourselves last. Because we're so deeply and richly loved by our Father. We can do that. We're loved first, love is second. We're blessed first, we're blessed second. We're in this season. So this is the invitation. Thank you. There are prayer warriors in this church. We love that. I love that. Thank you. Prayer texts are going out. We have a connect. You're praying. Could we have a season of just prayer? Wednesday the 3rd, come along. We just want a season of prayer. Listening. There's so much happening. Let's make a commitment that we're going to seek to understand others before we seek to be understood. I'm terrible at this. Not to listen to be able to give the right answer, but to listen. And let's listen to one another really, really well, knowing that we are being listened to by the Father. Fellowship. This is a season where we need to be taking one another out for coffee, for meals. First Sunday of the month. Can you imagine if we just focused on that as not about us, but about really blessing other people, eating and fellowshipping like Jesus? Serving. Many of you don't know it yet. We have many ministries in this church that at the end of this year, the leaders are stepping down. And we have a season where we need people to step up. So we want you to just to think and pray about that. We'll be telling you more next week. Storying. We have people in our church that are going through difficult times, and they just don't need platitudes like, you'll be okay. They really need to hear, God has got you. And we're going to pray for you, and he's going to leverage for you. And no matter what happens, he's got you. And this terrible thing, by his grace, can actually be a gift. Let's go to him and find that from him. We are in a season where we need to love and bless. So this is the invitation. Can we draw the circle of blessing larger than ourselves?
rather than just say, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. Can we make a commitment to draw the circle of blessing larger and say, Lord, draw the circle around us, say, bless me, definitely. And then say, but Lord, I am blessed to bless. And then if we can just say, Lord, who do you want me to draw the circle of blessing around? And wait for him to prompt, and if he puts them on your heart, then go from being blessed to blessed. Go from being loved to love. Draw the circle of blessing a little bit larger as we grow. Now I'm going to finish now, and the music team are going to come up, and I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a gospel prayer from J.D. Greer, and I've adapted it. So come up, music team. I'm going to read it through. As they come up, and as we're about to sing, you can take your time, guys. But this is what we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray this. I'm going to ask you to stand. But this is what I want us to pray. In Christ, we're speaking to the Father. In Christ, there is nothing we can do that would make you bless us more, and nothing we have done that makes you bless us less. God blesses. That's who he is. It's not conditioned on us. Your presence and blessing are all we need for everlasting peace and joy. As you have blessed us, so we will bless others. As we pray for blessing, we'll measure your desire to bless by the cross and your power to bless by the resurrection. Can you stand with me? I'm going to read this prayer. We pray together, and then after that, we're going to finish with a song. Let's stand in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, we love the thought, we love the truth that in Christ there is nothing we can do that would make you bless us more. You bless because that's who you are. And Lord, we thank you that there's nothing that I or we have done that will cause you to bless us less, because that's who you are. But Lord, we also do acknowledge that we can block your blessing in our lives. And Lord, our prayer now is that you'd help me, help us as a church to come and just invite your Holy Spirit to search us and ask, is there anything that's blocking? It might be that we don't have a true picture of you as a dearly great and good, gracious Father. It may be bitterness in our hearts and unforgiveness. It may be areas in our life where we're in habitual sin. I don't know what it is. It may be strained relationships in this church that have been strained for far too long, and you want us just to go and confess, say I'm sorry, ask for forgiveness. Lord, whatever is blocking, if it's me blocking, Lord, help me. But Lord, what we love about this is that you are a God who blesses. And Lord, as we come, we sit under the waterfall of your blessing. Your presence and blessing, that's help us to truly understand that's all we need for peace, everlasting peace and joy. We don't need anything else. And Lord, as you have blessed us, help us to be a blessing. Help us not to be a terminal of blessing, but a channel of blessing. And Lord, as we pray for blessing, we'll measure your desire to bless by the cross. That's how powerful, that's how much you want to bless. And we'll measure the power of your blessing by the resurrection. It cannot be stopped. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.